Hey, ghoul friends, it's me, Adrian, or Aiden, either way. I'm still your host, and you are still listening to Susto, the podcast of Ookie Spooky Scary Stories. How the heck are y'all doing? It's either the 28th or the 29th when you're hearing this. Halloween is just in a few more days, and then right after that is Dia de los Muertos, so I'm super excited for these next couple of days. Before anybody starts skipping, stop, really quick, pause. I have some really important or fun updates, however you want to look at them. First and foremost, if this is your first time listening to the show, welcome to the family. So happy to have you here. If it's not your first time, if this isn't your first rodeo and you're a regular listener, welcome back. Thank you for being here. Missed you so much. Hope you've had a great 2 weeks since last time we spoke, or last time that I spoke and you listened. It's a really big day, a really big week, lots of things happening. So I have been keeping up with the story of the Nexium cult for a few months now. I heard about them a while back somewhere on the internet. And then HBO has been doing this like docuseries about the cult and the people that have been able to escape, and they're trying to like take it down. Spoiler alert, if you don't want to know what happens with the story, you're going to want to skip maybe like a few seconds. But if you've been watching the show, you know that Keith Raniere, the leader of the cult, fucking weirdo, and like not even weirdo, because weirdos are cool. We love weirdos, but like he's just a super bad person. He was arrested at the end of the docuseries, and they were like, stay tuned for part two, which is going to come out, I think, next year. But it just came out on the news today. I'm recording on Tuesday. I'm finishing up the episode on Tuesday that he was sentenced to life in prison. And you know what? I consider myself an abolitionist or a believer of abolishing prisons, specifically private prisons, corporate prisons. That's a whole like huge conversation that we should probably have later. But you know, there's some people that should just be put in there until we figure it out. You know what I mean? And he's one of them. Like, this guy is a piece of shit. If you haven't watched the show, I encourage you to watch it. It's less like paranormal, but it's still really disturbing and scary, because the things that people are capable, and this is something we've talked about in the show, that like living human beings, that's what really, really scares me. Right? More than like spirits or like creatures or ghouls, because those are like a little less common to experience. But people, we deal with people like every single day, all the time, and they're terrifying. And this is a perfect example. So if you haven't seen that docuseries, I really highly recommend it. It's really interesting. And yeah, justice was a form of justice was served today, because unfortunately we can't undo all the trauma that so many people went through in that cult. But this is something that a lot of them have expressed would put them at ease. And honestly, it prevents him from doing this to, or doing what he did to other people. So I just, I'm like rambling about it, but I'm so excited because I got really invested in the docuseries. And like I said, I've been following this story for a long time. Like, a really big example of one of the messed up things that he did is in like the cult, they have smaller programs or groups. Anyway, one of them led to women being branded with his initials. What? No. Never. That, oh my, okay, I'm gonna stop talking about it. Just go watch it if you haven't. But if you haven't watching it and you didn't already hear, that's, there it is. There's that really cool news today. Okay, so then some more specific to Susto news is, if you are listening to this before Thursday, the 29th at 2 o'clock, I know this episode comes out for most of y'all Thursday morning, but some of you, if you're signed up to the Patreon, patreon.com/SustoPodcast, then you get the episode early on Wednesday. So if you're listening to this before 2 o'clock, on Thursday, October 29th, go to Susto's social medias, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Susto Podcast. I posted on all three of those about a digital event called Share If You Dare. At least that's what I started calling it. Sorry to the group at ETRGV, but that's what I named it. It's a spooky live stream. So people are going to be telling their scary stories. Of course, I signed up to share my scary story. I don't know how like soon up to the show they're going to be accepting people to sign up, but hey, worth a shot. Go ahead and try it. On the posts that I made on social media, there's details on there, like where to contact UTRGV First Year Experience. They're the group that's putting this show on. So again, if you're hearing this before Thursday, October 29th at 2 p.m., go either watch the live stream or see if you can still sign up if there's still time. I've been trying to post this on social media like as soon as I had something ready to share with y'all. But yeah, I'm excited to do that. I'm going to tell a story that I think I may have mentioned, but I haven't told in like really great detail. I'm going to try and do it more justice on that live stream. So I'm really excited for that. One last, I guess, like update. Welcome to any and all new patrons. The people who signed up for Best Ghoul Friends, you already have your Susto pins. I'm going to be be sending out October's the monthly letter for October this coming week, because it's the last week of October. If you haven't signed up, there's still time. Guess what? I know I was like, there's no other way to get these pins. And to be honest, there's not. But I do have some pins left. So if you still want one of those pins, the leftovers are still up for grabs, but I'm not going to order any more after October. So that's pretty much it. Whatever I have left, that's all I have. The next like limited edition thing will just be whenever there's something that's coming up. Like I said, I do have some left, not a lot. So if you want one, make sure and sign up for the Best School Friends, and I'll just keep promoting them until they're all gone. But yeah, super excited. So I'm going to give you a quick breakdown about the show also. See, this is why I told you all to not skip and to listen. Those of you that didn't skip, you're getting the full scoop. You know what's about to happen. People who skipped are gonna be like, what's happening? I don't know. I know I talk a lot of shit, and a lot of the time I'm not saying anything super important maybe to you, but it is to me. Anyway, so the way this episode's gonna work, as you've seen by the title, it is Flavia Z. Drago and Gustavo the Shy Ghost. So a couple weeks ago, I want to say before this month, actually, one of my best friends, and they are actually a patron as well for the show, and I'm super grateful. They sent me a link to an Instagram post. I think it was this elementary teacher. He posted about this children's picture book that he just got and read to his students, and it's really cute, and we're going to talk more about it. But I immediately was like, I need to buy this book because it's adorable, and I want to have it. So I bought it, I read it, I loved it. But even then, while I was waiting for it to come into the mail, the same friend who sent me the link for it, they were like, hey, why don't you like try reaching out to the author, maybe they can do like an interview or something. And I was like, oh my god, hell yeah, that's such a great idea. So I emailed her and she responded. So this show is going to be an interview with the illustrator and author, born and raised in Mexico City, Flavia Zoria Drago. And we talk about her book. And after the interview, I'm also going to read a little excerpt from the book. Her publishing team was super friendly, super helpful. And I really wanted to go about this the right way because, you know, we have to uplift artists and creators. And I'm just like, I really take that kind of stuff to heart. So I was like, I want to do this completely the right way. I don't want to just like read your whole book and then like nobody wants to buy it. So I'm sorry, I'm only reading a portion of it. I'm not including anything extra from the book on the Patreon, because I really want to encourage you all to support Flavia and her work, because it's really amazing. And I had such a good time with this interview. So stick around after the interview. I'm going to read a couple pages from the book, and that's how this episode's going to go. I know it's not as spooky as we normally do, especially for like the, I guess, like quote unquote Halloween episode, because this is like a day or two before Halloween. But you know, I wanted to do things a little different. This book is really sweet, and so if you have kids, this is probably something, at least the pages that you'll want to listen to them with. And even if you don't, and we talk about this in an interview, if you don't have kids, you don't need to buy this book. It's super cute, and we, again, I'm like talking about things that I'm going to talk about in the interview, but I'm so hype about it. Just all I can say is that I encourage everybody to consider buying the book, whether or not you have children. And I really hope that you enjoy this episode as much as I enjoyed making it. Flavia, hi. Thank you so much for being here today. How are you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing well. We were just talking about the weather outside. For anyone that listens to the show, I'm from South Texas, and a lot of my listeners are from this area as well, so they know how the weather has been very nice. And Flavia, you're from Mexico City, correct?
Correct. I'm from Mexico City.
Nice. And Flavia, why don't you tell everyone who's listening a little bit about yourself and what you do?
My name is Flavia, and I'm an illustrator, and I also write books for children. My favorite thing in the world is monsters, so I'm kind of... I've released my first picture book, which is about a little ghost who wants to make some friends. He's very shy. And hopefully, in the future, more books with monsters will come too. So, well, that's what I do.
Yeah, I was, of course, before, and ever since I saw, a friend showed me an Instagram post about Gustavo the Shy Ghost,
And I ordered it right away. I saw maybe like two pictures and I said, I need to buy this. So I bought it. And then my friend that showed me that post, she also sent me a link to your website, and I got to see some more of your work. And you've done books about you've done illustrations of like witches and calaveras. And I know in your bio, it says that when you were little, you wanted to be a mermaid. And I love that, because I felt like, I was like, oh, okay, this person and me, I know that we can be friends, because it seems like you have this love for all things mystical. And I'm very much the same way. And so I guess the first question that I wanted to ask you was, what drew you, or what made you want to work around these creatures and like mystical beings? Like, have you always had this interest?
Yeah, I've always had this interest for monsters and mythical creatures and fairy tales. I love fairy tales so much. But also when I was a child, I had this book. Italo Calvino wrote his Italian fairy tales. And as I was reading it, I discovered that those fairy tales were kind of darker than the ones that I used to read before. And then I did some more research, and it turned out that the first fairy tales were quite dark and grim, and there were gory details and things like that. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was very surprising. Well, I grew up with fairy tales, and then I also grew up listening to this Mexican program called La Mano Peluda, which mm-hmm. is a radio show. And then the host interviews people who have had some sort of paranormal experiences, and I really, really loved listening to that. I got very scared as well. There were times when I went to see my mom, I was like, Mom, I listened to this on the radio, and she was like, oh, those are just stories, don't be scared. But I was really, really scared, and despite that, I just kept on listening. And I also loved watching horror films. I don't know why, but in Mexico, on Channel 5 used to play all sorts of horror movies on Saturdays and Sundays. So they were just available, and I would watch it.
Yeah.
favorite movie. I remember they also played Hellraiser, The Blob. There were many horror films, so I kind of just grew up surrounded by that, and, you know, Day of the Dead, and then the Aztec gods, which are kind of bloody. Also, Catholic Church is quite gory as well.
Yes. So. Yeah. Yes. I was raised Catholic, so I can attest to that.
Yeah, I mean, you just go to the church and you see Christ bleeding and bruised, and it looks quite scary as well. I guess that was the idea, but, you know, I just grew up surrounded by all of those things, and I was always very amazed by them, and I wasn't really scared, so I guess this is why I just developed some sort of love for it. I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like that's very common, at least growing up where I'm from, and growing up with the people that I grew up with, like, we were always sharing scary stories. And I feel like you can ask a Latinx person anywhere, do you have a scary story? And they will always have a scary story. And I feel like it's such a big part of our culture. And that's part of why I started our show. But then also to see how far these stories spread, like in geography, like, you know, it's all over the world, and some of the stories are very similar. But definitely the idea of growing up in a Catholic church, you know, we're told a lot of these scary stories, and they're meant to keep us like in line. But it's definitely funny to think about it now as an adult.
Now that you're saying this, I was actually wondering this when I noticed that your show was focusing on stories from Latin America or from Hispanic heritage. I was just wondering if other countries would be the same, because like you said, if you ask any of your friends, they will probably have a ghost story. But I've never thought if my foreign friends would also all of them have ghost stories. So I'm going to start asking them if they do have ghost stories. I'm intrigued by that now.
Yes, please do it. And I do that a lot. I used to do it a lot more in the beginning of the show, and where I would look up, like, let's say, like, the story of La Llorona. Like, I did that story, and then afterwards, I would search for different versions of that from all over the world. And sure enough, like, each culture had its own version. So I think that's definitely something worth asking your friends about. And you'll probably hear the story where the outline of the story will probably be the same, but the characters, they might change here and there.
Yeah, that's what happens with folk tales. Mm-hmm. Like, they kind of mutate and they adapt to their environment. I wrote an essay on fairy tales and their evolution and that kind of thing. And I was reading that at some point in China, there was this sort of Red Riding Hood, but with a tiger instead of a wolf. So it kind of mutated. And also, if you Cinderella, there's a Cinderella from Egypt as well. So I guess that the same kind of thing happens with ghost stories. I was listening yesterday to the La Pisadeira podcast as well.
Yeah.
And you were talking about the same, like, the Danish have also, they were doing some sleep paralysis research, but it wasn't as widespread as in Brazil. So I don't know. I think it's interesting that we all over the world go through similar experiences, but we interpret them in different ways.
Yeah, exactly.
And we tell the stories and we retell the stories because that's how we learn about the world, I think.
yeah, for sure. I think that's so perfectly put. Like, that's exactly how, I guess, that phenomenon happens.
Yeah.
So I also wanted to ask you, I noticed that in Gustavo the Shy Ghost, while I was reading through it, I think that you did a really good job of connecting different images of Latin American folklore and, like, images of Dia de los Muertos with some more American folklore. Like, I saw, like, the swamp monster in there. I saw, like, the typical traditional image of, like, little witches. And so I wanted to ask you, how was the process of making this book so available to different kinds of audiences? Because I feel like an American audience can read this book and enjoy it and really understand it as well as, like, a Latin American audience.
Yeah. Well, it was a very natural process. I'm very glad that you mentioned it. As I've said, I grew up surrounded by a lot of American films as well. So I would just, and I love them, so I would just take elements and piece them together into this world full of monsters. And I thought that they could completely, happily live together because, you know, as a Mexican, I grew up appreciating Day of the Dead and the Catrinas and the tradition. And I was very, very aware of the value of that. And I knew that that was different from Halloween and monsters and pumpkins and jack-o'-lantern and that kind of thing. But at the same time, I couldn't, but I just enjoyed porn. But also, I would enjoy putting my ofrendas, so they wouldn't compete in that sense. So I just thought it felt very natural for me because I knew the value of both. Well, at least the value that both have in my heart.
I relate to that so much because I do. I like you. You know, I have a love for the mystical and the paranormal and monsters and creatures, and so I love this time of year. I love these next few months, not only for the weather, but because I love Halloween so much, and I appreciate Dia de los Muertos as well. And I've said it before on the show that those are two, like you said, they're very different experiences, they're very different celebrations, but I do have a space for both of them in my heart. And the fact that, you know, they're right next to each other, I just really agree with what you said, because I feel like I want to make those two things live together, even though they are different. And so that's why I really did love the book, because I saw that happen and I was like, yes, this is exactly what it's like in my head and in my heart.
Oh, that's really great.
So, yeah, I really
nice
loved
to
it.
Hear. Yeah.
And it's beautiful. And I just want to mention, I don't know if I had told you before, but your artwork and the way that you wrote the book as well, I think they're wonderful. They're beautiful. And I highly recommend anybody who's listening to this to pick up a copy of the book. Even if you don't have kids, I don't have kids, and I bought it for myself, and I still enjoyed it so much. So I do just recommend everybody to get a copy of the book because it's amazing.
I like it. I think grown-ups should buy more children's picture books because, well, I don't know, writing a picture book as you don't have a lot of space, they're usually only 32 or 40 pages. You need to choose very well every image and every word that is going to go together with that image. So, yeah, you need to be very careful. But also, I think that picture books can give sometimes complicated messages, can deliver complicated messages in a seemingly, apparently simple way. So I really, really enjoy picture books. I am a grown-up. I make picture books. I enjoy them.
Yes. No, I was just talking with a friend yesterday. We went to, there's a nature place here. It's called Quinta Mazatlan, and it's beautiful. And we went yesterday, and we stopped by the gift shop. They have a lot of picture books. And one of my friends, she's also an artist. She was looking at them. She said, I love collecting picture books and children's books. Like, they're some of my favorites. And of course, I had already shown her your work, and so I think definitely more adults should collect picture books, and it's a great way to get really important messages in very concise formats, which I think is very hard to do, because it's very hard for me naturally to be concise because I can talk forever. So you're able to get some of those messages in concise, simple ways, I think was really cool. And I wanted to ask you, actually, one of the things that I noticed, and I wanted to ask if it was intentional, was so in the book, Gustavo is in love with Alma.
Yes.
And she's the most beautiful monster in the town. But Alma is invisible. And I thought that kind of like made me tear up a little bit, because I was like, she's invisible. Like, she doesn't look like anything, but she's the most beautiful monster.
Of course.
And I was like, yes. I was like, I could imagine my nieces and my little siblings reading this and imagining I don't have to look like anything specific to be beautiful. And I loved that. So I wanted to ask if that was intentional and how you came to that idea.
Oh yeah, that was completely intentional. when I started sketching and writing the book as well, I only have the idea of making a book of a shy ghost. I wrote a tweet, and just because I was thinking about why ghosts would wear sheets, and then my conclusion was, well, they wear sheets because they are very shy, so they don't really like to show themselves. And so then I thought that could be an idea for a picture book, and I kept it in my head for a long time. Then I got the offer to write that book, but I didn't have a book. I only had the idea. I talked my publishers through that idea, and I showed them like a few sketches that I had, and they were, yes, we want that, and we want you to use the Day of the Dead thing. So I was just really thrilled. So when the writing started, I didn't know if Gustavo was going to be a boy, like a real child disguised as a ghost. Or a real ghost. But the more I drew, like I think through drawing, and the more I drew, I realized that as a ghost, Gustavo could shape-shift into different objects, and that could serve my purposes better for the storytelling. And I could also play with the meanings of the other monsters. The first sketch of Alma was just was a girl, and then I thought, oh well, of course he can be in love with the invisible girl, because you know he sees through her. He doesn't have to see her physically, but he knows that she's beautiful because that's how she is. It's not about looks, but I like playing with the language in that sense. So just giving the idea to my reader that he's in love with with this girl, and then you look at her and she's invisible and you realize that that's the joke. So
yeah,
I like leaving those little spaces of interpretation because I think it's more fun for everyone who's reading the book.
Yeah, no, that was probably my favorite detail of the entire book, and I couldn't get over it. And my boyfriend, he also, of course, he read the book, and I don't know what I was doing, but he snuck away and he read the book, and then he came back afterwards and he walked up to me, and the first thing he said was, "She's beautiful and she's invisible." And I was like, "I know."
Exactly, that's the joke.
Oh man, so yes, it's just, I can't get over how much I love the book, and that was one of the things that I was like, I have to ask her about this because it stuck out to me the most.
I'm glad you're asking me the right questions, I guess, because you know how I feel about paranormal things and you know what they mean and you know the jokes, and so yeah, we can just talk about that.
Yes.
No one has asked me about Alma like that.
Wow.
So I'm just very happy that you're making that question. Really.
Oh, yeah. That makes me happy.
Yeah, and we also talked about traditions and other things which I haven't mentioned in other interviews, so this is really nice.
Yes. Oh, that's so, that makes me so happy to hear that.
Yeah.
I haven't mentioned that on the show yet, and I wanted to talk about it with you to everyone that's listening. One of the things that we talked about in the emails while we were setting up this interview, and I completely forgot about it until you mentioned it, was getting empacho and how we're like cured of that. And oh my God, you said it, and as soon as I read it, I just thought,
started,
oh,
started having empacho all over again.
Yes, I was like, no, like, I'm going to have to call my mom, and she's going to come pinch my neck and my back, and oh my God, that's one thing I hadn't thought of in such a long time, because I hadn't had it since I was a child, so it was just something that I was like, I wanted to mention on the show.
Yeah, but do you think the listeners know what empacho is?
I think for sure a lot of my listeners will. A lot of my listeners are from the area that I live in, and so I know that they will know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, empacho, and also curing your fear with some bread. That's very good.
With some bread?
Well, yeah, with bread. Curing this el susto with bread. In Mexico City, we cure it with bolillo. Do you know what a bolillo is? Probably you do.
Yes, I know. There's three different definitions of a bolillo, but
yeah,
but I know the bread kind that you're talking about. Yes.
Yeah, in Mexico City and Mexican Spanish, mm-hmm. A bolillo is a type of bread that you can use for making sandwiches. So
yeah,
whenever you're scared, it traditionally you should eat a bolillo. So.
Wow. So what we would do here, and I don't know if it's only regional, but in this area where I'm from, we would do sugar and water.
Sugar and water too. Yes, yes. My mom did that as well.
Wow. Yeah. So yeah, I only heard of, and maybe another someone else from this area, but my family, my mom would only use the sugar and water. She never used the bolillo. But I'm gonna ask her about that, if that's one thing she knew about, but maybe just didn't do.
Yeah. Yeah. Ask her. Yeah. You know, after, you know, we had a massive earthquake.
Yeah.
On Mexico City in 2017. I mm-hmm. think, yeah, I wasn't here, but right after the earthquake, a lot of bolillo memes started popping out everywhere.
Oh, that's so funny. I mean, it's not funny that it happened, but I'm sure the memes were funny.
Yeah, you know, memes help you going through these dark times, so.
Yeah. Maybe that's what people are going to be saying in the future, that people are going to say, when I had susto, my mom would use, or my dad would use a meme to help me get rid of the susto.
Yeah.
So So I have one more question that I wanted to ask you. I wanted to know if you have a favorite monster or creature or a spirit.
A favorite monster or creature or spirit, like from folk tradition or from movies and things like that?
Yeah, like from folk tradition. And I know it's going to be a hard question because I don't know if I'd be able to answer this because there's so many good ones.
I don't know. I know that from horror movies, it would be it, definitely. Basically because he can shapeshift into anything that scares you. So I think that he's really cool. From folk tales, I think ghosts are my favorite. You see ghost stories everywhere. My family has ghost stories. And then there's also the people who have friends who might or might not have been ghosts or things like that. So, yeah, I don't know. Like,
yeah, no, I mean, that seems maybe like the most relatable because everyone, no matter where you're from and ghosts, it's going to be the one that everybody knows about.
Yes.
If we get into more specific things like a duende or like a chupacabra, like yeah, that's going to be more specific to certain people. But ghosts definitely, I think, is something that most people have had an experience with.
I also like vampires, but that's because I know more about them now and how they kind of evolved through literature history, because they weren't fancy. On the first folk tales, there were kind of brutish creatures who would just come and eat the people, and then literature came. I think, what was the name? It wasn't Lord Byron. It was, what's his name? I forgot.
I don't know.
He was Lord Byron's doctor, and he would write this first story, which was inspired by Lord Byron, and it included a sexy and raffinated, sophisticated vampire. And then from that on, vampires changed. How we look at them changed. But that was because of literature. So I think that's interesting. People would be very, very scared of vampires. They would just put stones in their mouths and do all sorts of weird things just to keep them coming from death.
Yeah.
So vampires are pretty cool as well.
That's another one that's very, like, it's become very traditional. You know, when you think of, like, spooky things, that's one of the first things that people think about is, like, ghosts, vampires, and, like, witches. I feel like those are the top three.
I remember the name, Polidori.
Oh, okay. I was trying to look it up, too, on my phone, and let me see what the name is here. I think it's John William Polidori.
Yeah. Polidori wrote a vampire story with an elegant vampire, and then actually Lord Byron got cross at him for doing that because he thought that he was stealing his character. I don't know how to say it.
Yeah. And like maybe he was like that, like he was upset that his idea was being taken or built on or something.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's interesting how they evolved just because someone decided, no, vampires are not brutish, smelly things. They're elegant and they're sexy and they can seduce us. And that's how they became more and more popular. That image of the sexy vampire endured.
That's very interesting to think about how that just like completely changed the way that vampires are seen now.
And they were first called revenants, which is like just walkers of some sort. Yeah, they weren't smart or anything. They would just eat people.
Wow. That is so cool. I'm going to look more into that.
I want to see if
I can do an episode on that. Maybe there's like some Latin American vampire that I don't know about.
Yeah, maybe. And, you know, in Mexican tradition, the witches are quite vampire-like. You know, they turn into balls of fire and then they would eat children.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I've never heard of that, of them turning into balls of fire.
Really? Yeah, that's one of my favorite stories from childhood when we were doing road trips. And my uncle would tell us the story of witches, like they would fly and they would turn into balls of fire and they would eat children and steal them from their cradle. Is cradle the word?
Yeah. Cradle.
cradle, yes.
Yeah.
And then if you do further research on that, I think that Mexican witches can have turkey legs, and then they can pull them out, and then when they pull them out, they can fly with wings. So there are different types of witches as well, and they're interesting, and we don't know a lot about them.
Yeah, the version that I've heard is that the witches, they can turn into lechuzas or owls, and so hearing the idea of like the wings and the talons, that makes more sense to the story that I've heard of lechuzas. And I definitely remember being told that when I was little, like if you're outside after dark, the lechuza is going to come down and she's going to try and snatch you away. But that it was a witch that could shapeshift from an owl to a human form.
I didn't know the lechuzas one, but from Ghibli movies, you see the witches, they kind of turn into half birds,
yeah,
half witch. And yeah, I thought that was very cool, but I didn't know the lechuza version, which is great. This is a bit of a spoiler, but my next picture book is with witches.
Oh, I love it.
And yeah, I just want to show that there are more than the witches with the pointy hat, which I love.
Yeah.
But there's also, you know, these Mexican witches, or the ones that turn into birds, mm-hmm, owls, lechuzas, that kind of thing, that will show in my next book.
One last thing that I have to ask, and I try to ask everyone that's on here because it's what the show is about. Have you personally experienced anything paranormal or scary or spooky?
Well, yes. I don't know if it's paranormal or not, but I've experienced sleep paralysis. But it was weird because I was laying, and this is why I don't sleep on my back anymore, actually.
Yeah, I've heard that you're more likely to have it when you sleep on your back.
Yeah, I mean, every time I slept on my back, I started experiencing that, and this time was very, it was horrible because I was laying on my back, and then I started hearing these loud sounds as if my head was inside of a speaker next to a microphone, you know, that kind of kind of sound in my head, and then I couldn't move, and I couldn't open my eyes, and then I could open them just a bit, and as soon as I opened it, I saw this dark figure on top of me. It looked like the alien figure, you know, with no eyes, just the teeth.
Oh, wow.
And it was speaking to me, and then it told me its name. It was a demon's name, and I knew it at that time.
Oy.
And then I thought, maybe I should write it down. And then I thought, no, that's a silly idea. Don't write it.
No, don't write it and don't say it.
Don't write it down. Don't say it. I just kept it in my head, and now I've forgotten about it. So,
that's so scary.
That happened. It was scary, but I woke up and I thought, oh, okay, that was just a dream. I'll just go back to my lovely sleep. I was very tired, and then I started hearing again the sound, and I was like, oh, this cannot be. And I woke up again, turned on the light. Everything was okay, and I went back to sleep again, and then that thing started again. Like, oh, no. What the hell? So I just slept with the lights on that night.
Oh my god, that's so scary. That you heard it say a name to you, that scares me so much.
Yeah, it was scary, but at the same time, it's like, I know I'm fine because I forgot his name.
Yeah.
And that hasn't happened again, but it's like, I just don't sleep on my back.
Yeah. Oh, and I'm happy you didn't write it down either.
Yeah, me too, because it was clear. I knew the letters, I knew that I could write it down, and then I thought, oh no, that's a silly idea, just in case.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do it, just
that, that
in
was
case.
A very good instinct, yeah.
Yeah, my survival instinct prevailed.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah, I've had sleep paralysis. multiple times, and it's I've done an episode on it too, but it happened to me more so when I was in a more, I guess, like a more stressful part of my life. And I read when doing my research for that episode that a lot of people that experience it, it's when they're having very stressful moments in their lives, and it could be one day, it could be a whole period of your life. But when it happened to me a handful of times, sometimes multiple nights in a row, it was during a very stressful time in my life. And so,
yeah, I think it was a stressful time in our lives when that was happening. Yeah. So yeah, it completely makes sense. I did listen to that episode because I was intrigued, and I didn't know that there were also hallucinations involved. Mm-hmm. So that kind of makes sense. And my head is really, really good at building amazing dreams and stuff. So I might have just been my head imagining really creepy stuff.
Yeah.
Just in case. Do not write the demon's name.
No, that is good advice. Never write the demon's name.
No.
Oh, wow. Well, Flavia, thank you so much for being here and for taking the time to do this interview.
No, thank you for your time, and I'm very happy that you've invited me. I really enjoy your show, and hopefully you've had a good time as I did.
Yes, I did. I had such a good time, and again, I love your book so much, and I love all your other work, all your illustrations. And if people wanted to look for your work, or they wanted to purchase the book, where could they find you, or where could they follow you on social media, or where are you available on the internet, basically?
I'm available on Twitter as Diafla, but I only tweet in Spanish. I'm available on Instagram at Flavia_ZDrago. That's my Instagram. If you Google my name, Flavia Zorrilla Drago, it will come out. It's not common.
And I'll put links of your work on the Susto social media pages as well, so that people can find you those ways too.
Well, thank you. The book, if you're interested, you can buy it on your local bookshops. Just it's better if you support them, because they make events and they support authors, and so yeah. Buy it from them, and if you can't buy it from them, you can go to the dark side and buy it on Amazon.
Yeah. If we must.
Yeah. It's in Spanish and English, actually. So,
yeah,
and I wrote both of them.
Oh, I love that. I'm so excited. I'm probably going to buy the Spanish version too, just to have it, because I love it.
It's Mexican Spanish, so I made sure that we used Mexican words. It will come a Spanish edition as well. But I didn't do that translation. So Gustavo speaks like someone from Spain. So it's really lovely and funny as well.
Oh wow!
Yeah, I can picture him speaking with a Spanish accent.
Yeah, that's so cute.
Yeah.
Again, thank you so much for being here, and I really appreciate it.
Oh, me too. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me here. And I'll keep on listening to your show, because it's really cool. And I'm really enjoying every episode. So thank you for making such a great show.
Oh, my heart.
Yeah. I saw the title and I was like, oh, this seems just right for me.
Yeah.
I have to listen to the episodes now. So, yeah.
I love it.
This is excellent. Thank you.
So I hope you liked that. As you all have heard, Flavia was an amazing guest. She is so nice and so talented. And I, as I mentioned before in the introduction and during the interview, I felt so connected to Flavia, because a lot of us who are into these sorts of things, we kind of think similarly. And it's really cool to know that we can connect that way on these types of things. So I'm going to go ahead and just jump in, and I'm going to read a few of the pages from Flavia's latest project, Gustavo the Shy Ghost. We'll be right back. Gustavo was a ghost. He enjoyed doing the normal things that paranormal beings do, passing through walls, making objects fly, and glowing in the dark. But there was nothing in the world that he loved more than playing the violin. Well, almost nothing. Gustavo was secretly in love with Alma, the prettiest monster in town. But he also had a problem. You see, Gustavo was so shy that some things felt incredibly difficult for him. And the worst part of it? Making friends was terrifying. Gustavo had never dared to speak to any of the other monsters. Okay, so I know that that was really short, but it is a kid's book. It's not like full of a ton of words, but like Flavia mentioned in the interview, with children's picture books or with picture books, you really have to think about how you're going to get these messages, because the intended audience, yes, is children. And so you want to think like, how simple, how easy can I make this to understand? And as I mentioned in the interview, and I got to read it a little bit in the story, is that Gustavo, aside from the violin, another thing that he loves is Alma, and she's the prettiest monster in his town. And what you all don't see that I'm looking at right now in the book is they show Alma, and I mentioned in the interview, and she's an invisible little girl. And that's just one of the messages that was like, it's like, how do you, like, if I were to ask you, hey, I need you to tell kids that you can be beautiful and it doesn't matter how you look. Can you put that in like 5-10 words for children to understand? I would have a hard time with that, I feel like, and I'm sure I'm not the only one. And so that there are people out there like Flavia who are able to do that, I think is such a gift. And this is a book that I plan on sharing with my little siblings, with my little nibblings as well. And that's just one of the messages. This book isn't even like specifically, I guess, about like the ideas of beauty. It's more so about like vulnerability and courage and putting yourself out there and making friends and valuing yourself. And it's like, how do you express all those ideas to kids? You know, and this book does a really good job of it. And even as an adult reading it, like that thing about Alma, when I read it, I wanted to cry and I was like, oh my God, yes. Like it, I cannot give this book enough praises, and I'm so excited to look and buy more of Flavia's work, because I don't know, I'm just excited. And picture books are never really something that I personally thought of, like, you know, like something that caught my attention. And I think, as I mentioned in the interview also, like I have one of my best friends, she's an artist, and she was telling me about how she actually loves to collect picture books. And like after the interview with Flavia, after reading this book and after that conversation with my friend, I was like, I really get that now. And so I think it's like it's a form of art and creativity that I think that I will probably be consuming more of from now on. And I honestly cannot say enough about how much I really appreciate this book, and I appreciate this kind of work and Flavia. And yeah, so if you want to look into more of her work, as we mentioned in the interview, you can follow her social medias. I will be tagging her on the Sousa social medias when I post about this. And her website also, flaviazidrago.com, says more about all her other work. So you can definitely look it up there. So like I said, this episode is a little different than what we've done before, but we've done different things here before, and different is not bad at all. I hope you enjoyed this episode as much as I truly, honestly enjoyed making it. It was so much fun. And I hope that you have a happy and a safe Halloween. As I've been saying feels like the longest time now, I hope that you are taking care of yourselves and each other. I also want to mention, I feel like I should have made a bigger deal about this, but Susto had its first birthday. We have been doing this for 1 year. I know we had that huge break in the middle, but it's been 1 year since I started doing this. So I also wanted to mention right now that from the deepest, darkest corner of my heart and soul, I am so grateful for each and every one of you that has listened to this. I have listeners from around the world, and it's crazy to even think that, but to see it like on my computer when I look at the numbers. And I know that this isn't like a hit podcast with like thousands upon thousands of listeners, and maybe we'll get there one day. But for those of you that are here now, for those of you that have been here since the beginning, I honestly mean it. I so appreciate it. And I'm so happy that there are people out there that enjoy this show as much as I enjoy making it. And I just want to say that, and I'll leave it there before I start crying because I'm such a big crybaby. But yeah, I will talk to you all later. If you have your own spooky, scary stories or pictures or videos or recordings, what have you, you know how to get them to me to share them on the show. Email sustopodcast@gmail.com, social media is @sustopodcast, or leave a 5-star review. Also, that's one last thing before you all go. If you're still here, thank you for making it this far. If you haven't yet, please subscribe and like and rate the show wherever you are listening to it. That helps me tremendously. It helps me figure out what I'm doing, if it's working, if I'm doing it right. And I really appreciate it. Tell your friends, tell your family, tell whoever. Again, hope you all have a great Halloween, and I will see you in a couple days. And don't be so shy. Bye.